much for being with us here today on Wednesday, the Morning Tailgate Raider Nation Radio. Vinny Bonsignor, Clay Baker, and you here in our Las Vegas studios. All right, qualify to win this week's Summer of Fun contest brought to you by Planet Nissan. It's a week's day over in Wyoming. It's going to be awesome at the Rockin' M Ranch with horseback riding, fly fishing. You get the rental car, cash, or you could just take the payout of $3,000. But you can't win this contest to Alpine Way, Wyoming, unless you text in the word VISA today, V-I-S-A, to 702-365-9200. We're here on Raider Nation Radio. Later this hour, we'll hear a conversation with Devonta Adams and Laura Rutledge from ESPN. Great stuff there. We'll get that up to you here on R&R 920 AM as Marcus Johnson joins us now, as he does on Wednesdays from Tape Don't Lie on YouTube. Make sure you go up there and subscribe. Fantastic content coming out on a daily basis. YouTube's sensation. Tape Don't Lie with Marcus Johnson. You can also follow him on X at TheMarkJohnNFL. Marcus, thank you so much for being with us today. You know, there's a lot to get into as we kind of like been going around the league, division by division, wondering about which teams have made upgrades. And we take a look at how the Miami Dolphins out of the AFC East still remain on the Raiders schedule this time around. But yeah, overall, do you feel like that team has made the upgrades in the offseason to make Tua that much better of a quarterback, but also a team that can also beat the good teams that they face on their schedule? Because last year, they fell flat against that.
Yeah, I think one thing you saw with them is they're still working on the run game. I think, you know, a lot of people sleep on their running game. I think it's one of the things that Mike McDaniel has been doing his whole career, especially working with Kyle Shanahan. He was the run game coordinator. And, you know, they added another running back as well. I mean, to add to that, Raheem Morris, and you got Devin Archain, I think, mm-hmm. if I say his name right. And then, you know, they added another running back in the draft, Jalen Wright, out of Tennessee. So, I mean, they're really trying to build around Tua in that run game. Because I think, you know, when you get into later into the season with Tua, I think that run game really needs to help him, because I don't know if he's that guy you can really feel comfortable throwing the ball 40 times, 35 times consistently throughout a whole season. And, you know, Mike McDaniel is definitely a wizard, and Tua gets rid of the ball quick, and he has a lot of those speed guys around him. But I think that's the thing that you're seeing a little bit with them, is they're trying to build up the run game to make sure Tua feels comfortable later on the season, and they can lean on that more than leaning on him. And then I think defensively, they're having a lot of those pass rushers come back, like Chubb and Jalen Phillips that got hurt last year. They got a new defensive coordinator, but they still got some good players over there. Still got Jalen Ramsey. I think it's still a team that you'll look to that will be a playoff contender, just because they have Mike McDaniel. Tua runs his offense very well, and he still has Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and those guys out there. So I think there's a lot of that team is building in the right direction, but you know it's all how they play around Tua later on in the season. If Mike McDaniel also doesn't get that kind of offensive fatigue that you see from West Coast play callers sometimes as well.
Is Tua a guy that you're going to invest big money in?
See, it's tough right now in this part of the NFL, because I would say that Tua is just as good as Trevor Lawrence right now, right? And then, you know, you see Trevor Lawrence get paid, and, you know, he's had a better career than Trevor Lawrence to this point, but you could say that he has played with Tyreek Hill and a lot of those things, and Mike McDaniel is a better play caller. But just from a resume, you know, aspect, I mean, even, you know, he had some, you know, winning seasons with, you know, Brian Flores too as well. But, you know, it's a little bit of like you have that
Marcus
somebody better.
Marcus,
it's tough. You know? it's so tough with quarterbacks these days, because they're stuck. But, you know, I would, if you're asking me personally, I wouldn't do it. But,
yeah. Thank you, Marcus.
You wouldn't do it, because do you ever feel like, you know, and I'm glad you brought it up, and we're with Marcus Johnson from Tape Don't Lie at the Mark John NFL on X. When you look at how McDaniel has this ability, especially through the Kyle Shanahan offense, where you look at some of the stats, you're like, great passer rating, great completion percentage. Do you ever feel like sometimes that is a little fugazi when you're trying to decide how good a certain quarterback is?
Yeah, I think what separates other quarterbacks from you know, the great ones from the good ones is more what happens when your first read's not there. Like, how do you react to it? How do you react when the picture changes? And that's my problem with Tua.
Okay.
Like, if I change the picture on Tua, it's over. Like, it's not going to happen. He's not going to be able to get to that second read. But if he gets to that first read, he's going to throw it probably just as good as anybody in the NFL. So that's why you're like, okay, if I'm Mike McDaniel, if I could point in the right direction, I can win with him a lot. But do I want to give that guy $55 million when I'm just pointing? You know, I think somebody like Brock Purdy, he'll get more that kind of that rep that he gets that Tua doesn't get because he has Kyle Shanahan, and Kyle Shanahan has more is more revered around the NFL as being a great play caller. But I think Brock Purdy does a better job of reading things post snap than you would say Tua. So you would feel more comfortable. I would feel more comfortable giving Brock Purdy money because I feel like if Kyle Shanahan left, I would still have a way to win with Purdy because I think he just does a better job of reading things post-snap. If something's not there for Kyle, he can find the other side of it. If Kyle wants him to go this way, it doesn't work, he can get to the other side and find something else that works on the other side. Tua can't do that. That's what kind of separates the good from the great, in my opinion. But, you know, somebody like Tua, like, you can win with him, but it's just defenses are going to figure out, and they're already starting to. That's why he struggles against Buffalo is, I can get you to if I could stop the first read, you're not going to do anything to us. So that's the thing with Tua. But, you know, Mike McDaniel is figuring out a way to do that. But that's why I think they're building up the running game, too.
You know, whether it's Tua or Purdy, neither guy is a guy that's going to wow you athletically. You don't necessarily even want Tua, you know, being an athlete back there anymore based on, you know, the injury factors. So if we circle it back to the Raiders, what needs to happen for an Aiden O'Connell to be, whether you want to call it a Purdy or a Tua light, but a quarterback that can do those types of things to put his team in the best possible situation on a game in and game out basis?
Yeah, I think the, you know, one thing that, you know, Purdy and even Tua does at a pretty good level is avoid mistakes. I think that's one thing Aiden O'Connell has to do. Aiden O'Connell also has to be able to trust his reads and not try to force, you know, the ball in the situations or try to be a better player than he actually is. Like, I think sometimes last year you saw him try to be a playmaker, like the Dolphins game. He was, like, trying to avoid sacks too much. And I think that he's got to play within himself. He's got to know, I got to get rid of the ball quick. That's my game. I got to get the ball out of my hands. And I got to make some quick reads. If something's not there, I got to get to my outlet quick so I can keep the offense moving, keep the offense efficient, because we're going to play really good defense on the other side. So he has to understand that and just keep the ball moving. We don't have to always have these, you know, huge plays, explosive plays with him. He's got to keep the chains moving, find ways to do that. If that takes a quick check down to Zamir White, he gets six, and, you know, you maybe didn't end up reading something really deep right. I think he has to be able to just kind of take that in and kind of just play that way. Make sure that he's getting the ball into players' hands and not trying to be something that he's not. And he has a quick release. He's got to get rid of the ball. Get rid of the ball. Throw it to somebody. Keep the chains moving. Even if we're beating them by a million paper cuts, it doesn't matter. You just got to keep the ball moving and keep your defense rested, because if they get up, they're going to be able to get after the passer, and it's going to be a hard time for those opposing offenses.
Marcus Johnson here on the Morning Tailgate. With that, were there times during the season last year when you look at Aiden O'Connell's tape that, not unlike how you brought up with Tua, when defenses changed the picture, was Aiden O'Connell ever stopped after he couldn't find that first read? And how do you think the maturation process came for him last year? And is that probably the biggest thing maybe holding him back from becoming a better-than-average quarterback?
Yeah, I think, you know, the game against Brian Flores is really a wake-up call for him on how teams change the picture, because that's all Brian Flores really did to him.
Okay.
And, you know, he was pretty good pre-snap against the Chiefs, like, a couple weeks before that. He did really well pre-snap against the Chiefs. He was able to see their blitzes, and he was kind of just, you know, picking them apart a little bit. But here comes Brian Flores, who's known for blitzing, and he was just dropping eight a lot. And it was really confusing Aiden O'Connell. And I think he got better at that as the year went along, because I think the Colts kind of tried to do the same thing to him. And he did it a lot better in that game, kind of reading the field and staying patient and getting through his reads. He hit the second read a lot in that game. And you saw him see the field a little bit better. And I think that's one thing that I like about him, is that he does see the field pretty well. You know, even though, you know, a lot of the limitations, that's one thing that he does, is he sees the field pretty well. And he does a good job of getting to his reads. But, you know, he's going to be in a new offense, so it's going to be a little bit tougher early on. But I think as you get later on in the season, you're going to see him more comfortable to kind of read those things post-snap. But it was something he got better at during the season, because I think Brian Flores just gave him a wake-up call, kind of a welcome to the NFL. If you think you could play quarterback, this is how it really looks type of thing.
Talking to Marcus Johnson from Tape Don't Lie, I contend that there's two things that the Raiders have to have day one, September 8th in Los Angeles against the Chargers, to start the season, and that is a stout defense and a run game. I feel pretty good, really good, actually, about the Raiders' chances to do that defensively. I feel pretty good about the run game, but talk all of us into why that run game should be effective from day one for the Raiders this year.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a huge focus for them. And I think the linemen that they have put together, I think those guys are all pretty good at run blocking. I think Dylan Parham, he's going to be a better fit in the zone system that they're going to be run. Munford took a huge leap last year in run blocking. I mean, he was top 10 in PFF grade in run blocking. So that kind of shows the step that he has. Colton Miller, he's always been a stud. Either one, pass blocking, run blocking, it doesn't matter. He's a stud at this point. Then you got Jackson Powers Johnson, who is just a mean guy. He's just not very nice. He's going to try to kick some people's heads off, and that's really, I think that's going to pump up the run game too. Some of the blocks that he makes, and if they start punching people in the mouth, they're going to get those linemen going really early because all those guys, you know, they have a little bit of a mean streak to them, and I think that if you can kind of build on that early on with the run game, it's going to get those guys confident, and especially Jackson Powers Johnson. If you can get him going and get him rubbed up, it's going to be a big game for them in the run game. So I think that's, they got to set the tone that way, but I think they're built for that. I think, you know, even Mumford is a little more athletic than I thought for the zone system when I watched him a little bit more on film, studied him a little bit better. He can fit this system, and he can run it pretty well, and he is just became a monster in the run game last year. So I think there's going to be a huge focus, and it's going to be on the running backs to make sure they find these holes and they take advantage of it. But I think Zamir White showed that he could do that at the end of the year. And, you know, you see what Alex Mattison and the other guys can work in there and see what they can do. But I think it's going to be a huge focus. The Raiders are going to run the ball. That's why, you know, you talk about what's happening with a lot with OTAs and minicamp, but, you know, you don't get the run game in there. I think that's going to be a huge focus. We're going to see a lot of them handing that ball off.
Yeah, you can see it up on Taped Online YouTube of the Zamir White breakdown as you guys did a full analysis of maybe even what a full season schedule would look like with Zamir White at running back with the kind of outside zone runs. But at the same time, just recently, you did a fantastic deep dive on how the Raiders stopped the Chiefs' offense. What did you uncover? What did the tape show that you didn't notice when that game went live?
You know, what we didn't notice is, you know, how they did a different type of contain rush than they usually do. I think it's, you know, usually with contain rushes, guys that kind of like go forward, they always don't try to be as aggressive as the Raiders were that day. But the Raiders kind of mixed it up where they were still attacking aggressively while keeping Patrick Mahomes in the pocket. Like they maybe they wouldn't counter. They would do a bull rush and go as hard as they can and maybe not counter till late and until he started to make a move. But they were basically finding different ways to keep him in the pocket. And then when they got out the pocket, there was always somebody there in his face to make him have a tough throw. And then which led to him, you know, getting rid of the ball quicker than he wanted to or you know, end up throwing a pick six because of it, because they're trying to get him out of the pocket and, you know, trying to have a lot of quick passes and, you know, Jack Jones ends up making a play. And those type of things were happening because of the pass rush that they have. And I think that's the impact of the defensive line this year is, you know, just on anything that they play. You know, if the Raiders, they can stay in the game, and, you know, especially against a lot of these passing teams in the AFC, they're going to have a good chance to dominate with that defensive line, especially adding in Christian Wilkins. And it really showed that as well. But, you know, also it was on the back end, too, how well they tackle, which is going to be big, okay, having a defensive line and maybe having a secondary that's not the greatest on paper. You're going to need those guys to tackle because the ball's going to come out quick. The teams are going to be worried about, you know, Max Crosby. They're going to be worried about Wilkins. They're going to be worried about Malcolm Kuntz. And they're going to be trying to get rid of that ball quick, a lot of quick passing. And it's going to be important on the linebackers and the secondary to make a lot of tackles.
Who's the Raiders' starting quarterback to start the season?
Aiden O'Connell.
I agree. Why for you?
I think just right now, I think Aiden O'Connell does more than what Minshew can do from a stretching the field aspect. I still think they want to try to stretch the field a little bit. You got Trey Tucker there for something. And then the way he's working with Trey Tucker, I think he's going to have a good idea of, if I don't have the biggest arm in the world, I might have to throw a little earlier, just get a timing with Trey Tucker. And I think he's just a little bit more explosive that way, Aiden O'Connell. I think Aiden O'Connell can make a 20-yard, you know, deep out throw. And I think Minshew can't really do that as well. I mean, it's possible, but it's not going to have the same velocity that Aiden O'Connell will. So, because, you know, Aiden O'Connell, he can drive the ball from the 1 to 20 range. Just when you get past that, you know, how much, you know, is the ball going to float a little bit longer than that? But, you know, Gardner Minshew, he even struggles getting a lot of velocity on that 10 to 20 range. So that's why I expect Aiden O'Connell there. And I think Aiden is coming in more like he is a starter. You hear about, you know, him showing a lot more leadership, you know, being more vocal. And I think that's something that he's got that confidence from AP a little bit too as well, that AP believes in him. When your coach believes in you, that's that's a big thing for quarterbacks. And even for, you know, when the teammates are believing you and Adams is saying good things about you, I think that's going to give him more confidence. And he just got to go out there and just play his game. Don't turn the ball over and kind of play just like he did at the end of the year last year. But, you know, they got to get more production out of him in the red zone and more touchdowns that way. But I think just him being younger too, and you want to see what you can see and see if he's ready to take be the quarterback that you guys need for the future. You got to kind of see it. And, got to decide right now.
Expand a little further on velocity, especially when you have the comparison between Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. You talked about that, you know, Aiden O'Connell with a 20-yard deep out throw and the velocity that it takes to be successful in this league that Minshew doesn't really have. What is it about the velocity of the throws that Aiden O'Connell does have? Is it accuracy? Is it ball placement? How does that velocity really translate into actually playing winning football?
I think it's more about just being an inline throw where like a guy doesn't have to come back and try to adjust to it or it doesn't allow a safety to get there on time. Yeah. I think that's a big thing because, you know, in the NFL, the windows close so quickly. So if you have a quarterback that can have a big arm, he can be later than Aiden O'Connell can. He can still get it in there. Aiden's got to have to throw it on time still, but I think he has the arm strength to kind of get it in there before a safety can get there. And I think with Gardner Minshew, if he makes that same throw, a safety might get there a little bit quicker and he's knocking the ball down or he's, you know, making a big hit and, you know, causing some injuries and things like that. And just more, I would say the word, I guess, hospital balls is a little bit what they would say. Yeah. I mean, like you had to throw with Michael Pittman last year that, you know, Pittman almost, you know, he was almost out for the season after that, but it's those type of things like that. It's the velocity of those throws where you can get that ball in there before that safety comes. Cause I'm telling you, these guys read it so fast. You know, you talk about how you see it in college and, you know, there's some openings in college that you see these guys can make that throw. That's not going to happen. These guys are going to be able to just see it and break on football as quickly as possible. And that ball just has to get there sometimes before the safety can get there or before that corner can get there in those zone coverages. And that's really the difference in velocity.
Well, I really love your work, man. What's in store this week for Tape Don't Lie up on YouTube?
So I'm doing a deep dive today about how checking out Devonta Adams, how they're going to use him, kind of a little bit of difference, and kind of looking how Scott Turner used Terry McLaurin. I think Scott Turner's going to have a little bit more input this year just with the short passing game.
Really? Okay.
He has a little bit of a pretty good quick passing game, and I think that it's just a better fit for what these guys do. And then because you can plug in Minshew or O'Connell, you can kind of run a little bit what Scott Turner likes to do because he had Taylor Heinicke, who didn't have the biggest arm either. So that he was able to get some offense there. So doing a little deep dive into Adams and then looking how Wilkins helps out. He's going to help out the rest of the defensive line, kind of show against like the Dolphins and some of the unsung things he did over there where he was opening things up for the other linemen. So we're going to kind of deep dive into that too as well.
Why do you think a guy like Terry McLaurin for so many years with so many different kinds of quarterbacks, well, I mean, he still consistently has consistent output each and every year. How does he do that? What have you noticed about his game? Because Scary Terry is somebody that I absolutely love picking up in fantasy, even though I know the quarterback's always going to be a wild card.
Yeah, because I think one thing they do is they move him around a lot. And okay. I think that's one thing that you want to do with Devonta Adams this year is he is guarded by different people all the time. Like, you know, I went back to 2022 and, you know, they're against the Eagles, and the Eagles had one of the best defenses in the league, and he had like 120 yards in them, and they won that game, like 8 catches. But the thing was, he was never being guarded by Darius Slay. A couple times he was being guarded by Darius Slay, but it was always lining him up against Gardner Johnson inside or Marcus Epps or finding some way to kind of get him open. And I think that's what they did a really good job. I think, you know, that was a Scott Turner game, and that's why I went to look at it, because if you could do that with Devonta Adams, you could get Devonta Adams inside and get Devonta Adams on matchups where these guys can't guard him. It doesn't matter if you know, he's getting a little bit older, a slot corner is still not guarding him, right? I mean, maybe some outside guys have to entertain. Those guys are going to give him some more trouble, soft Gardner. But you get him inside. I mean, those type of players are still can't guard Devonta Adams one-on-one, and you can get those matchups. And he'll be able to win, and he'll be able to be very productive with a better completion percentage this year. That's what I think.
Oh, man, I love your work, Marcus. Thank you again for coming on today. Let's talk again soon next week.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. That's Marcus Johnson, Tape Don't Lie up on YouTube and at TheMarkJohnNFL on X. Here's the latest betting on the offshore books, global books, on which quarterbacks will start week one. And for the Raiders, there's been some volatility in this market between Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. Aiden O'Connell now is plus 100. That's almost like even money that he'll be the starter for week one. Gardner Minshew is down to minus 130. He was at minus 150 2-3 weeks ago. So there's already money coming in on Aiden O'Connell to be the starter for week one. And why not? I mean, coming off the success you had last year against the Chargers, why not put him in?
Here's the thing for me. This would almost be a waste of a season if, you know, you give it to Gardner Minshew, you win 7 or 8 games, 9 games, you know, maybe, and you know, you're a middling team with not a very high draft pick, and you wasted a year in terms of what do you have in Aiden O'Connell. When you can just, I think, based on what Aiden O'Connell did last year, there's reason to believe that he can be even better, that there's a higher ceiling there with him. I don't know what that ceiling is exactly, but it's higher than what Gardner Minshew has shown, I think, potentially. And you will at least get this season to evaluate what you have in Aiden O'Connell so that by the end of the year, you didn't waste your time in terms of that, because at some point you have to figure out what do you have in this young quarterback so that when you get to the finish line at the end of the season, wherever that finish line might be, you'll be able to look back at the body of work and make a better decision on, okay, can we comfortably move into the future with Aiden O'Connell, or do we need to make a change? And the only way you find that out is by playing Aiden O'Connell. Now, it could go a couple of different ways. He can, start the season and flourish and be that guy that you believe in moving forward. He can start the season and play reasonably well, get you into a decent position, but you still decide we could do better and we're going to do better at the end of the year. Or he could start the season and not deliver, and then you have to make a change to Gardner Minshew. All of those three scenarios are okay in my mind, because one way or another, you're getting you're making a determination, or you're closer to making a determination on what exactly you have in Gardner or in Aiden O'Connell. Somebody that you can move into the future with, somebody that you feel, you know what, we'd like to keep him around maybe as the backup, but feel like you got to do better than him. That's what the draft and maybe free agent will be for. Or no, there's no way. This isn't something that we want to move into the future with. We're for sure going to go get a different quarterback. And the only way you figure any of that out is by playing Aiden O'Connell, at least to start off.
Yeah, you're right. That's the only way, because you can't just sit there and wonder, like, what if? You have to play him. He has to see the reps. He has to see the games in order for you to have that clear picture of who he really is.
Right, and maybe it all turns out great. Maybe it doesn't turn out great, but one way or another, you're going to know, and you're going to be in a better position to make that decision come the draft next year or free agency next year. The last thing I think you want is to say, well, maybe Aiden in 2025 will be, you know, let's give him a chance then. Just give him the chance now and try to get a better idea of, you know, what you're dealing with. Because, and I say that because, you know, again, maybe great things can happen, you know, and that would be obviously something that would be really special. But the reality is you're probably not a team that's, you know, in Super Bowl contention. As of right now, you can't say that the Raiders are. So what exactly are you playing for? You're playing for to try to make the playoffs, to try to win as many games as possible. Yes, no doubt. But I also think you got to figure out, again, what you have in Aiden O'Connell. The only way you figure that out is by playing the guy.
Yeah, that's the one thing you can control, his playing time. You can control that. And he can as well, by playing well. And
holds on to it or not.
And holds on to it or not. You know, one thing that also Marcus had brought up, just conversely on the defense, when he talked about the Christmas Day game against Kansas City and how the defensive line, especially now with the addition of Wilkins, you know, the quarterbacks are going to have to get rid of the ball a lot quicker than they did last year when you face a Raiders defense. So it's really on the onus of your secondary and linebackers to tackle well. And we know how Jakorian Bennett came out of Maryland for his rookie season, and he had a great tackling profile. DeCameron Richardson also has that. Mm-hmm. He was the only cornerback in last year's draft that had, like, a, you know, according to ESPN and other draft profiles, as almost like a 98 to 99% percentile in tackling. It's maybe that's why you find the certain kinds of specialized corners that you saw in the draft that the Raiders went after. Sure, there's coverage and there's all sorts of things that you go to use for pass breakups, but you can see where tackling is going to be, you know, just as important as anything else, because you have to have that kind of, like, complementary nature to deal with that defensive line.
Yeah, for sure. And he was a good cover guy as well. He didn't come up with the interceptions. Sometimes that can be a little bit distorted as a number and downgrading somebody because they didn't come up with the interception. Sometimes it doesn't tell the full story on the coverage. So I like the coverage, and I certainly like the run defense. And I think that some of those attributes in terms of the playmaking and the ball hawking could be taught and developed. Maybe it's just a mindset, or sometimes it's confidence. So I think he's got the tools to work with. Now it's going to be on him, obviously, to put it all together, and the coaches.
Okay, well, stay with us. We're going to play a nice little interview that Laura Rutledge did with ESPN with Davante Adams earlier this morning. We'll play that later on. We'll also get your thoughts on the text line. Great responses and participation up at 702-365-9200.
Hey, are you in the in a situation where you need some cash right now? Maybe you need $500 or $5,000 like yesterday, and maybe the credit cards are maxed out or the credit's not where it needs to be, and maybe you've been sweating it out or losing some sleep wondering, how am I going to get this money? Well, stop the worrying. Because for over 20 years, the experts at LendingStore.com have helped millions of people who needed cash quickly, and all credit types are welcome. Now cash is as close as your phone and as soon as tomorrow. When you need cash, you need it now. So why wait? Head over to LendingStore.com. Let them help you find a lender that can help you get the $500 to $5,000 that you need as early as tomorrow. Just go to LendingStore.com for all the details.
He was waiting for the ball to fall out of the sky, and he caught it 5 yards into the end zone on the near sideline. And the Raiders just marched 98 yards before halftime to score.
They treat me like an old man, so I'm going to just act like, because, you know, old men, they don't think. They just say whatever, you know, whatever they feel. So that's how my grandpa is, at least. So I'm just trying to be the old man that they want me to be.
Raiders Radio Network with the call. And Davante Adams on with Kay Adams up in Adams. In fact, we'll play a portion of an interview with Laura Rutledge from ESPN did with Davante earlier this morning. You don't want to miss it. We'll play that in about 10 minutes' time here on Raider Nation Radio. It's the morning tailgate. Vinny and Clay on your Wednesday. Let's get to some text here. 702-365-9200. A lot of thoughts on overspending for certain quarterbacks. And Raider Jay in Monterey has an interesting thought. He says, Vinny, I totally agree, 100%. AOC is the guy. The gun is the difference. And if you give AOC another 1.5 seconds to read and he improves his pocket presence, he'll be a 10-year quarterback who is highly effective. But he also goes on to say, like, I agree about people and teams getting burned by big contracts to people who didn't come through. He says the obvious ones like Jamarcus and Randy Moss. But the one that always red flags for me was when the Raiders did give Javon Walker from Green Bay and Denver a huge amount of money. And that was just absurd at the time for a wide receiver. Yeah, thank you, Raider J with Monterey. That is, yeah. You know, here's the thing. Like, and when they signed Javon Walker in 2008, the team wasn't totally ready to take on a Javon Walker that wasn't able to perform at high levels because the rest of the team wasn't that stacked.
They probably weren't ready for Randy Moss either.
Good point. Yeah.
Let's be honest, mm-hmm. You know, and because Randy Moss went on to do really good things in New England in just a better situation. The Jamarcus Russell thing was a draft pick. The salary was cap situation was a lot different. You didn't have the restraints that you have on rookie quarterbacks now.
Totally
or rookie draft
world.
Picks. Yeah, it was a totally different world. It's those second contracts that I'm talking about. When you give big, huge second contracts to guys that, you know, sometimes we can talk ourselves into it. You know, we'll build the right team around him and he'll get us to the promised land. But how many of those quarterbacks do you really just believe are capable of doing that? And how many of those quarterbacks are teams just throwing the money at because it beats the alternative? You know, it winning 9, 10, 11 games sometimes, getting to the playoffs, maybe winning a playoff game is more, just as much more of a, it's a better situation, more attractive, sells tickets, keeps you employed for a longer period of time than moving on from that quarterback and not paying that quarterback basically and trying to go find somebody that's better, because that does end up, if you're not ready to find that quarterback ASAP and find a better solution ASAP, your job is going to be on the line. So there's that to think about as well, and there's a lot of factors, and I understand all of them and they all make sense. But at the end of the day, teams that throw really good money at just okay quarterbacks, quarterbacks that aren't really capable of being the guy to take you to the promised land, one way or another, you're probably going to get fired as a result of that, too. Might take a little longer. But eventually the gig is up.
Pocket time is also something that people always look at as far as like advanced stats for quarterback success, being able to throw. Last year, Aiden O'Connell, 2.4 seconds in the pocket. I think Jimmy Garoppolo had 2.5. The league leader was 2.7, more or less, a guy that would play every game. So it's right around the mix. Sometimes we take it a little too for granted, but to try to get an extra second, you almost look for like, you know, tenths of a second to get a little better. Sometimes that makes all the difference. But either way, it's got to be the good decision-making to get rid of the ball faster.
And a lot of it is what you're seeing before the ball ever gets snapped.
Mm-hmm.
And making the right call, the right read, the right, you know, making the right decisions, basically, before any of that ever happens. And you know, you can't expect Aiden O'Connell, as much football as he played at Purdue, to be, you know, precise and great in that area at that stage of his career last year. So you hope that that improves as well, because you should be able to, you know, 2.4 seconds, I think you said, it's enough time. It's close to league average to be able to get things done. But a lot of that, again, is predicated on what decision are you making at the line of scrimmage based on what you're seeing from the defense, and is that the right decision more often than not?
Raider Mark in Hawaii listening in. Raider Mark, you're in Hawaii listening to us. I love you for that. He says D'Angelo Hall was another wasted free agent that cost us big money. Shut down corner D'Angelo Hall. Yeah, you know, that's the thing. Like you had to overpay a little bit back in the mm-hmm. that era of the Oakland Raiders to get certain guys that you thought were the missing pieces. But Javon Walker, that was a strange one, because in 2008 when they gave him that big contract, it was I think it was 5 years, something like $60 million, and a bunch of money up front, $16 million guaranteed, whatever. And then, like, less than a month after that, he gets robbed going from the Hard Rock to the Bellagio, and he lost about $1,000 in cash, jewelry, chips. Wow. And that guy who robbed him got life sentence in Nevada. So it just goes to show you that Nevada law against tourists, crime against tourists, you get punished to the highest extent.
That's good news.
It's
I like
good
that.
News. Here's another one. Eric from the 619 says, Aaron Rodgers would come win a Super Bowl with the Raiders.
I agree.
No doubt.
No, if you put a really good quarterback in the situation right now, we're cutting Aiden some slack, because you know he's just going into his second year. He's got 9-10 games of starting under his belt. There's room for growth. We don't know necessarily what the Raiders have in Aiden O'Connell, especially in terms of that ceiling. But my contention is based on and I've taken a lot of deep looks at this roster. We're going to start. Our positional breakdowns on Sunday of this week over at the Review Journal, VegasNation.com. And there's a lot to like about this roster, across the board on both sides of the ball. And if you did put an Aaron Rodgers, or if you put, I think, even a Dak Prescott, the picture would look a lot better and a lot clearer right now. And, you know, that's not any fault of Aiden O'Connell, because he hasn't had enough time on task to be able to show what exactly he's capable of, and therefore, because of that, it's more of a concern than anything else, because you just don't know necessarily, and you do wonder about how high is the ceiling exactly. But it goes to show you, when you look at this roster and say that you can pluck somebody in, like, put it this way: if you had plucked, remember there was talk about Tom Brady coming to the Raiders. What was it, 2020? I think
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Sorry, but I don't think that roster, even with Tom Brady, they may have gone to the playoffs. Maybe they win a couple of extra games, but the roster wasn't good enough, as it was in Tampa Bay, for him to just step in and lead a team to the Super Bowl. You still have to have all of that. Nobody's sitting here and saying that the quarterback has to, you know, is responsible for doing it all. Even in New England, he was the beneficiary of good solid rosters. But you can't just put anybody onto a good roster like that and expect to win a Super Bowl. There's just certain quarterbacks that are capable of maximizing those rosters. And you just can't put one of those great quarterbacks on any old roster and expect a Super Bowl championship. So it goes both ways. But if you put that Tom Brady, that 2020 Tom Brady, onto this team this year, now you're starting to talk about, now you're like, whoa, okay, with that defense, with the dominance potentially of the defensive line, with Tom's ability or whatever the good quarterback you're talking about, ability to keep the offense in front, to score points, to allow the defense to pin their ears back and get after it, which is, I think, is going to be the strength of this team. Now you're looking at the kind of complementary pieces that you need all across the board, including at quarterback. So that's why it's so important for the Raiders to get good quarterback play, or at least good solid quarterback play, because that's the only thing that's going to be able to maximize what everything, the good that everything else represents on this roster.
Yeah, comparatively, the talent that was on Tampa Bay, there was no
team.
Question how good they were, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And of course, you have a Hall of Famer at wide receiver like Mike Evans. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll give you Laura Rutledge conversation with Davante Adams from this morning from ESPN. I'd like to say thank you for all the great participation on the text. We got a lot of them today. We couldn't read them all, but we'll try to get to most of them tomorrow. Make sure, though, in order to qualify for this week's Summer of Fun contest, the 5-day Alpine Wyoming Adventure, text the word VISA, V-I-S-A, to 702-365-9200. It's Raider Nation Radio.
Down 14-3, you've got to put this in the end zone. Five on the play clock. Hooper still moving over to the right. O'Connell's set, gets the shotgun, looks right, over the middle. Has Davante at the goal line. He reaches the ball across. Touchdown, Raiders!
Raiders Radio Network with the call. Huge touchdown. The second quarter against the Colts last year on New Year's Eve. We're back here on Raider Nation Radio, and Davante Adams, focal point of discussion these days because of the docuseries coming out on Netflix called Receivers. He's one of the great receivers that will be profiled from Justin Jefferson all the way down, and he spoke with Laura Rutledge on NFL Live on ESPN about this series that debuts today.
We now welcome one of the stars of the receiver docuseries, Davante Adams of the Las Vegas Raiders. So great to have you, Davante. We just saw footage from a full week of your life. Were those camera crews really with you 24/7 like that?
I mean, they're around. Honestly, the idea of having that many cameras around is what kind of had me a little bit in and out of the deal. I wasn't fully sold to begin with. Just because I'm a little bit more of a chill dude, I wouldn't say that I am used to having that many cameras around, obviously on game days, but not as much in my regular life the way that it was. So it was a little bit of a change, but honestly, they did a really good job of not being too invasive, and it was low key, and they were able to kind of capture some stuff without being all the way in our business. So it wasn't too bad.
What are you most excited for people to see as they watch this docuseries?
Well, I just feel like they'll be able to learn a little bit more about the person, and whether it's me, JJ, George, Amon-Ra, or Debo, whoever it is, they'll be able to learn more about what goes into, us being the players that we are on the field, whether it's our support system, our work ethic, the way we practice, the way we watch tape, and, you saw what a typical week is like, so it's kind of a lot of the stuff that goes into, our job, so... Obviously, there's a lot more than just us that contribute to that as well. So it's good to see some of the outside things and, outside interests we have, things that our kids are up to, a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I think people are going to love that. I mean, so many of you guys are known for what you do on the field, but there's so much more to you and a lot of depth, as you mentioned. Now, you are, though, always going to be one of the top receivers as long as you're in this league. And the wide receiver market has absolutely exploded since you entered the NFL in 2014. Calvin Johnson was the highest paid that year, a little over $16 million per year. Now, as you know, Justin Jefferson just signed a deal for $35 million a year. What do you think that says, Davante, about the importance of the wide receiver position in today's game?
Well, I mean, the market's only moving because the position's getting better. I mean, year after year. I was just talking to somebody earlier today, and, when I first got in the league, there was really only like three guys that were at the top of the league. And, I like to think that, I mean, we're looking at these numbers right here with Julio. I remember in 19 thinking that $22 million a year was just absolutely insane. And that was a boost that he got to get there. And then looking at, Justin now making quarterback money is absurd, and I mean it's great for the position, and I'm happy to see it because I want people to understand just how much goes into our position and just how valuable we are, especially when you are one of the best at your position. You obviously deserve to get compensated as such.
Yeah, and you've got a couple more years on your deal, but I'm sure it'll just keep compounding by the time you're going to get paid again too, which is good.
No doubt.
There we go. Listen, the Raiders had a busy offseason. How important was it to the team that Antonio Pierce remained the head coach of your team?
I mean, it was imperative for us. I mean, you saw guys like me, Josh Jacobs, Max Crosby. I mean, pretty much everybody, Rob Spillane. We all were, you know, harping on how important it was to have him come back. And I mean, he showed it himself. It wasn't too much that needed to be said, but anything that he didn't show, we definitely went in and talked to Mark or anybody else that was a part of that decision, just so that they understood. You know, Mark isn't in the building every day. Mark Davis, that is. He's not in the building every single day. So he may miss a few things that, you know, we definitely won't, and things that we can share and shed light on to ensure that we got that spot. And, I mean, from one week to the next, when he wasn't the head coach to when he was the interim, I mean, you saw a drastic difference as far as what, out of the same players that you saw a week ago that weren't contributing the way that they were. You know, you get somebody in there that can kind of get a hold of the locker room and lead men the way that he can. I mean, that's a very critical piece to being a head coach. So obviously he was the most deserving guy for it.
Yeah.
Oh, check it out up online on ESPN for the NFL Live interview, Laura Rutledge with Davante Adams, and also check it out up on Netflix, the Receivers docuseries with Davante in prominent fashion. We're out of time today. Check out our podcast up online at lvsportsnetwork.com. You can also stream the show every day on the LV Sports Network app, which is available on iPhone, as Apple Store, as well as Android. For Vinny, I'm Clay. Have a great day, everybody. You know, Rich Eisen is next, followed by JT the Brick Show at noon and Q Myers at 2 here on Raider Nation Radio.